changing how you compose. Your React.js code. We're here to talk about what this hook noise is all about. Tuesday is the show. Welcome to Tuesday, a podcast about tech tools, tips, and tricks every other Tuesday at 2. I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And today we're talking about React
Hooks.
Hooks.
Oh, dang
hooks.
It.
I didn't say hooks.
Okay.
Hooks. Okay, I'll stop. I literally have been doing that for like 2 weeks now. I don't know what is wrong with me.
Yeah.
I'm going to reel it back in. I don't know what that voice is. Today we have two sponsors, and the first sponsor is Sentry.io. Thank you so much, Sentry. Sentry's motto is, our code is broken, let's fix it together. Relying on customers to report errors, essentially treating them as an offsite QA team, is not good. It's rude to customers and bad for business. Ideally, this would be solved easily and with tests. Why not just cover every scenario with a test? Then life would be perfect and fine and great. Because here in reality, humans are pretty bad at writing tests. Not just because we're all kind of lazy, but also because we can't anticipate every single way users are going to interact with our product. They might do something really, really bizarre or something really, really smart that we didn't even think about. And that's why Sentry tells you about errors in your code before your customers even have a chance to encounter them. Not only do they tell you about those errors, but they also give you all the details that you'll need to be able to fix them. You'll see exactly how many users have been impacted by a bug, the stack trace, the commit that the error was released as a part of, the engineer who wrote the line of code, and a lot more. So check out Sentry.io, that's Sentry.io, and get your code fixed today.
Awesome.
Okay, let's talk about React Hooks.
All
right, show of hands. Who has heard about React Hooks?
Yeah.
It's like,
have you been
all
on
over
Dev Twitter recently?
Yeah. Yeah. So my understanding is that React Hooks are part of the new release version of React, which, when did that come out?
Yeah, so you have to be on 16.8 or later of React, and this came out, I want to say, a month ago. So not that long ago. Let me just check. Changelog 16.8, February 6th. So less than a month ago.
Okay, so 2 weeks ago.
Three weeks ago.
Yes. 3 weeks.
Yes,
okay, this is still February.
Yeah.
All right, so I feel like I've heard a lot about React Hooks, and you've also mentioned it on the show before, but yep. I've also like just briefly skimmed some articles, but I feel like I don't really have a strong understanding of what they are and how exactly to use them in my code. So
yes.
I'd love to hear all about them from you. And there's also, we asked Twitter, we got one question.
Yes, thank you, Dev Pablo.
Yeah, we'll ask that. But first, I just want to hear from you, Chris, like, what are hooks and why are they there for us?
Yes. Okay. So hooks are the new way of writing React components, right? So up till now, we've had two ways of writing React components. We've had the class way. So you say, you know, class, my wonderful component extends React component. And then you have a render function in there, which has your code. You have all the life cycles. You have state. All that wonderful stuff in there.
So all of that stuff, like those life cycles, like component will mount, those are all methods that you're pulling from the class component that is React, from React.
Correct. Yep. That's precisely correct. So you're extending the React, a React class for your own components. And then you have the stateless functions where you say function my component and you pass it a props and you render out something. But the big trick with that is that up till now, those stateless components could not have state, as kind of the name implies. So you could say, hey, I have a component here that will always just spit out things based on props, but it'll never internally keep track of anything.
So that's why you had to use a global state on the component itself.
Yeah. So before, maybe you'd have a class that said, you know, this is my app class, and it would do some, you know, network requests, and it would keep track of the loading state and then the final answer, the final results, and then it would pass those results down to a stateless component, which would render out some stuff, right? So that's how people kind of generally broke up their React code. And it worked, you know, it was kind of nice. It was okay. But what kind of happened is that, you know, as you keep on doing this, you start having these really complex, confusing classes. It was starting really hard to reuse some of this stuff. And so the React team kind of had three big motivations to doing hooks. And they listed it out inside their React docs in their hooks intros hashtag motivation. And three things are, is that the first one, it's hard to reuse stateful logic. So right now, because you can only use state in classes, or right before hooks, you can only use state in classes, and you can't really extend another class in React because you're extending the React component. So there's no way to share stateful logic except with using render props or higher order components, right? And so you'd have...
So that's when you pass props between your components.
Kind of.
Basically,
so
like with React style.
Yeah, kind of. So render props said on a component, you'd have a prop called render, and you would basically pass into that render property a function that would take state from the class. This is really hard for me to explain via voice, but don't worry, we'll drop a link to this for render props, and it'll be much more clear there. But yeah, so there were two primary ways of sharing state between components back then, back 2 weeks ago, render props and higher components, and they both kind of wrapped a component with more state logic. This worked and was okay, but it had a couple inherent problems. One was that you now have extended your React DOM tree by one more layer, and so as you kind of grow this tree, you can have performance issues. B, it was kind of very hard to see where did the state come from if you were in one of the lower components. So, you know, while the first time you did it was nice, as soon as you had four or five of these, it became very, very hard to track where everything came from, and it kind of sucked. So that was the first motivation, make it easier to reuse stateful logic. The next one kind of was in line with this, was that complex components become hard to understand. And this has to do with lifecycle methods. So as you kind of said, you know, React has these component did mount, component did update, component will unmount, component did blah, blah, blah. And these were these lifecycle methods in a React component, right? So that's how, when you said render something, it went through all these things to kind of say, this is how I update something. This was kind of hard to track. So, you know, if you ever added an event listener in React before, you kind of do it in component did mount. You say window.add event listener key down, right? You also have to pair it with a component will unmount, you know, window.remove event listener. So otherwise you start, you know, leaking garbage everywhere. And so what happens is that you have all these related pieces of logic scattered across your code base. And they're, even though they are about the same thing, they may be like 300 lines apart, just because that's how my component class would evolve over time. With hooks, they wanted to solve this by making sure that you co-locate related piece of code, not based on the time it ran, but by what it was supposed to do. So that's kind of a nice way to making things read better in the code base. And finally, classes as a concept are confusing for a lot of people. When, you know, Ryan Florence is a big React teacher, and he's kind of commented where classes sometimes just don't make sense for beginners. And they also confuse machines. It's hard to optimize classes. And so getting rid of the classes kind of makes React faster. So that's React's motivation in a nutshell, more or less.
So my understanding of this is you get to optimize your code because now you're co-locating logic instead of splitting it out based on timeline of the component state.
Yep.
And so I've seen a lot of examples of that actually on Twitter where they take a component and they show what it would look like with hooks, and it's much more condensed. But you still have to write the logic for the hooks that you're using outside of the component.
Yeah. No, you don't have to.
Okay. So some examples that I've looked at, like we'll put links in the show notes, is where you have this logic, and then inside of that logic, you can use specific functions. Like instead of like component did mount, you have use effect, and this use X is the new syntax. Can you talk to me a little bit about that? Because I'm confused as what that is, and that seems like that's hook terminology.
Hook city, yes. Okay, so the big thing about custom hooks is that they have to begin with the word use. So there are a couple like these things that you have to just learn, all right? So you have to really use the word use something or other, and the React then knows that this is a hook, and to run it basically on load, essentially. So there are a couple different hooks out of the box. The one that you're talking about right now is called
Before you continue.
Okay.
What is the difference between like what you're talking about before and then also custom hooks?
Yes. Okay. So out of the box, React has a bunch of hooks for you to use right out of the way. So there's one called use effect, which essentially replaces the lifecycle methods that React used to have. So instead of component
mount.
So that's
where you can have your co-located logic inside your
component. Correct. Exactly. So instead of component did mount, you say use effect. You'd say inside the use effect method, you'd say window.addEventListener. And then what happens is that you can return a function which has your cleanup logic. So you say you'd return a function that says window.removeEventListener. And then you'd have, you know, your add and remove right next to each other in the same use effect.
Okay, very cool. I'm glad that we're recording my learning of hooks.
Okay. Yes. So that part is super cool. What's even cooler, though, is the custom hooks. Okay, so this is the custom hooks are where you can start saying, we're going to share state logic across components. So here's an example that I think people use all the time, right? So let's say you want to request some data from a API, right? So normally you have a couple different things that happen. You have a is loading, did it error out, and here's the results for this, right? Three different states that have to be tracked. Error, loading, data. In a traditional React application, this has to go into a class because you have to have state, right? You have to have those three states. And so you can't, you know, share that piece of logic across components or across anything else because it has to be in that one place. With custom hooks, you can do this. You can have a custom call called use search or use fetch API or whatever you want to call it, right? And in this custom hook, you'd have you track the state of loading error results, and you just return that as a object for someone else to use. And so in this other file, and you know, it's like giving me this.
I'm getting so excited! The wheels are turning.
it's like this thing where like you used to have like if you have like a bunch of network calls in one class, it was so messy. You had to have all the stuff. You had to keep track of all these things manually. And it just sucked. And now you can extract all these things, all these stateful pieces of logic to separate files, which only take care of that. Just return the different values. And because hooks run basically every time it updates, your main component can just consume that state and it will render with whenever state updates, right? So whenever loading finishes,
are basically like this separate function that can handle logic for you and then pass it down to your app components that consume that logic.
Yes.
And they can then present or just place data, whatever. That's really exciting because right now that is a little bit convoluted.
I just did this right now where I just extracted it basically all my network calls, all any like async call to a different component, and I just consume basically a destructured object that says loading error results. And I did this for like three different things, and suddenly my file is just my main file is so much cleaner. All it cares about is these stateful things that are being shared around, and it makes a huge impact on the complexity of your components. It's very hard to describe, so I'll drop a gist in of the rework I did, but kind of genericized, just kind of show how impactful this is.
Sweet, what else is impactful? Having a great monitoring platform. Our next sponsor is Datadog. They are a really great service. They actually brought donuts to my company today, so thank you there. But Datadog offers. You have to ask. You have to reach out. Salty. Chris is salty. Datadog. Datadog provides DevOps teams with a unified view of all their systems, apps, and services. You'll be a part of thousands of organizations who already rely on Datadog to collect, visualize, and alert them of abnormalities. There are over 200 turnkey integrations, including AWS, Postgres, Kubernetes, and Slack, all done out of the box with custom metrics to gain full stack observability with a unified view of all of your systems, apps, and services. Other key features include real-time visibility from customizable dashboards, algorithmic alerts like anomaly detection, outlier detection, forecasting alerts, end-to-end request tracing to visualize app performance, and real-time collaboration. Datadog is offering listeners a free trial, and as an added bonus for signing up and creating a dashboard, they'll send you a free t-shirt. And I got one of those free t-shirts today too. Donuts and a t-shirt. Hey. We can be twinsies. So okay. Start a free trial today at datadog.com/toolsday. That's datadog.com/toolsday to get a free dashboard and a free t-shirt. Again, that's datadog.com/toolsday.
Super cool.
Okay, so hooks.
All right. Okay, let me also share one more thing that's super exciting about sharing stateful logic between components. All right, so there's a piece of interaction pattern I think everyone has to do sometimes. If you have a modal or a drop-down menu or something, you want to close the menu if you click outside the container, okay?
Yes.
Or press escape, right?
Accessibility.
Yes, both very important, okay? So to do this in a traditional class-based component, these are stateful pieces of data, right? So you have to implement this in every class, in every component you do, right? With a hook, you do it once, and I've made this thing called use outside click hook, right? It can add your event listeners, and then it just triggers a callback function basically whenever this thing happens. And you can now share this hook across any component you use and immediately get this click outside and escape handling all at once. It's just like this thing where, like, you know, I'm passing basically a reference to the element, and I'm also adding a key down listener for escape, and like it's trivial for me to add this interactive behavior to components, whereas, you know, I can't tell you the amount of times I've seen a modal where I press escape and it doesn't close and I'm irritated because somebody forgot to add that event, you know, event listener. With hooks,
but even there, like, you can add that to images, light boxes, you could add it to a search, you could add it to a sidebar, and they can all use the same logic.
Exactly. So it's adding this kind of stateful behavior is trivial with hooks, and I think it's going to really change how we do interaction patterns, because now you can share all the stuff, you can do have an npm package for this,
you don't have to write it every single time for every single component.
Yeah, it's there's a reason why Twitter's all agog about this stuff, because I think once people start diving into it and realizing the power of hooks and how much better they make your code, it's kind of like, blah, it's mind-blowing. It's so cool.
Wow, okay. I understand now. My heart is soaring with possibilities.
Soaring. And so, yeah, React's done a really cool job with this. The docs are really good. So if you're trying to learn hooks now, first step is go to the React docs. They have a great intro there, hooks at a glance. They cover the two major hooks called use state and use effect. And then we'll look at some more articles. I think you've been reading some articles that kind of give hook overviews, right?
Yeah, we'll put those in the show notes. I found two that I like because they kind of break it down and make it more understandable in terms of use case, which is how I learn, which is why I like that you're going through actual use cases. Speaking of like using it today and really like getting your hands dirty, how would people start using hooks today in their code?
Step one, upgrade React 16.8.3 is the latest version. Make sure you're on 8.3 because, all right, 16.8.3, make sure you're in that version because 16.8.2 and 0.1 had some bugs in them. So don't use those versions. And besides from that, that's all you need. Hooks are completely backwards compatible. So, you know, if you have a code base that's in classes right now, you don't need to rewrite everything right now into hooks. It will work side by side. I personally am going through and writing everything in hooks because it makes me super happy.
Are you bored?
I'm not bored. It's just like I'm seeing so much better code with it, then I'm like, okay, all right, let's just go.
Are there any caveats to watch out for when you are starting to integrate hooks into an existing code base?
Yes. There's some caveats about hooks in general. Not so much integrating hooks. Hooks require some learning, right? It's a brand new concept. So, you know, if you're interested to a code base and you're on a team and the rest of your team hasn't kept abreast of what's happening with hooks, make sure you talk about it because it looks much different. There are some things, right? So the way you do state is a little different. The way you use references are a little bit different. So there's a bunch of little small changes that are happening. So I would not, if your team is not on board, don't dive into it. Don't rewrite everything. Make sure your team is aware and you've had a conversation. There's some interesting things with like, if a value is up to date, when you use events. And so like the current recommendation, if you have an event like a key down or a button click, is to actually use the use reducer hook as opposed to use state and keep track of events. There's a hook called use reducer. Mm-hmm. So if you've ever used Redux before, there are things called reducers, and it takes basically two properties. A reducer, it takes a state and a change object, basically, or an action. And you will basically build a switch case statement where you say switch action type, and in the case of the type, and you do something there. And for this is kind of a better way of tracking events in React. This is actually true in the past as well. Using a reducer for this kind of methodology is a better way of tracking states or event changes. But it's doubly true in the hook world, where if you're not careful with like double pressing of a key down in a use state object, things may come out of order. So use the use reducer version instead. It's more reliable and better for your code too. So I'll link a GitHub issue that kind of talked about this particular use case where things got out of order with use state and a key down listener. So
Cool. So you also mentioned that refs are a little bit different. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So they're not different. And so as much as a new hook called use ref, which creates refs that way. So before you had a method
so
called...
So much better.
you had a method called create ref, and you'd say create ref, and then you'd pass a ref down. Now you say use ref as opposed to create ref. It's not
so that's not like refs inside of components where you have to like basically write a mini function to.
Yeah. Yes. Right. So now you say, you know, const input ref equals use ref, and then you give it a default value, oftentimes null. And then you say in your input, you say ref equals input ref. It's not that much different than the create ref syntax, but it is different than the callback syntax that used to be in React. So that's just something new and a little bit of a different way of doing it. Create ref and use ref are basically the same thing, just a different syntax. And so that's something to be aware of.
I wasn't even aware of create ref. So thanks for bringing that into life.
Well, they didn't actually like, I feel like I wasn't aware of it either until I stumbled upon it randomly one day. I feel like they didn't actually like evangelize create ref at all. So who knows?
Maybe it was just a pattern thing. Maybe they were seeing how it went. We did get one question on Twitter. This is from Dev Pablo, and he asks, "Hi, this is my humble question. I have no experience with React, but I want to learn it. Should I start learning ES6 classes and after that React hooks to define components, or should I start by just learning React hooks?"
If he had asked this question in 7 months, I would have just learned hooks, but because where we are today is that you will probably run into code bases that have classes, mostly classes, and then maybe some hooks for very modern code bases. I think, even for the next like year or two, you should probably still know ES6 classes and how that works with React, just because if you run into that scenario, and you only know hooks, that might be confusing for you.
Also, if you're looking at tutorials, a lot of those are going to be using classes. And even people writing new code for a long time in the future, it's going to be class-based because that was the entire history of React thus far. So it's important to at least get a strong understanding of that. I think that this is kind of like when people ask about, should I just learn Grid? Like,
I mean,
it's a good tool. Kind of, you should learn it, but there's still a lot of other tools that you'll run into and can use effectively.
Yeah.
When the situation calls for that.
Yeah.
So learn the classes.
Learn the classes first and then learn hooks. Oh, there's one more caveat I forgot. So hooks have two different replacements for lifecycle methods. So before your component did mount and component did will unmount and component did update, there are two hooks now. There's use effect and then there's use layout effect. And so use layout effect is the exact same as component did mount, component will update. Use effect is faster, but it happens. It has a couple more caveats of when it actually renders. And so if you're making a one-to-one transition from classes to hooks, that could be a gotcha. Probably won't be.
Okay. Are there any general rules of thumb with that?
The rule of thumb is to use effect as soon as possible in most scenarios, because it happens the quickest. Use layout effect happens after the layout has painted once. So if you definitely need the layout to already be on the screen before you run this method, then use layout effect is the one to use. But
so any UI interaction seems like it would be use layout effect if it's anything to do with the components on the screen.
Not necessarily, because like if it's like a key listener, right, or a keyed-in listener or a click listener, you can you can append it to the window or the document before the element has been rendered to the screen, right? So in a lot of things, you can use a higher listener to kind of do this for you instead. Only things with like animation, then you probably want to use layout effect, right? Because it definitely has to be on the screen. But for a lot of like data type things,
well, like if you have to click on it, then it should be on the screen.
If you want to click on it, and you could use layout effect, but also if you use a ref to it, you can put the ref into use effect, because it doesn't necessarily need to be painted, but you need to have a reference to the div, right? So,
but you have nothing to interact with, so would it make sense?
So use effect will update once state updates as well. So use effect does run again after. I'll have to double check. I'll go double check in this, but I'm pretty sure use effect will work fine. Use layout effect
I'm just wondering if it makes sense in that case. Anyway, I mean, layout effect kind of, I mean, my understanding of that is if it has to do with the layout being painted on the page.
Yes.
Versus fires, that doesn't matter.
If it fires after all DOM mutations. Okay.
Maybe we'll get an answer to you all if you're curious about this later.
Yeah.
But we are at our time for the show. And I think that this was really educational for me. I hope that it was educational to all of you listeners. Do you have any like final words of wisdom or things you want to add about React hooks?
Hooks are so exciting. People will tell you to not go too crazy on it, but I say you should probably go as crazy as possible, because I think it'll be a huge positive impact on your code base. So,
and Chris has seen the impact.
Yes, I have personally seen impact on this. So, yeah.
Sweet. So I want to thank you so much for listening to our show this week, and shout out to our sponsors, Sentry.io and Datadog. Remember to check out Sentry.io, that's Sentry.io, for all your test coverage needs. And also check out Datadog.com/Toolsday, that's Datadog.com/Toolsday, to get your free dashboard and free t-shirt. Also, shout out to our patron Webflow. Thank you for supporting us on Patreon. They actually just came out with a new e-commerce solution, which actually looks super nice. So check that out if you're trying to build a website on which you sell things. That could be That could be great. If you learn something new or just enjoy our banter, please share this podcast with a friend or a coworker or people in your professional Slack network, or just leave a review. That's how more people discover the show. And I think that's all that we have for today. So we'll see you next time.